Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Today's episode will be a short interview with me, conducted by Brandon Newberg of the Dead Ideas podcast. But before we get to that, just a quick note. The automated email system went down for several days this week. So for those of you buying episodes, you probably won't have received an auto-response email confirming your purchase and sending you links and other good things. If you registered with the site, then just use your login to get your episodes, no problem. But if you have any difficulties or you've forgotten what your login was, just email me thehistoryofbyzantium@gmail.com and I will sort it out for you. Thank you for your patience. The system should be working fine again soon.
It had always sort of been part of the attraction of podcasting that you had this giant creative white space to work with.
But that's what I loved about it. It was exciting.
Oh, gosh.
People kind of expanding into all sorts of different directions involving the past.
The best podcast. It's an intimate thing, and that podcaster becomes a friend. He's a trusted voice.
So, that was a clip from the beginning of the latest episode from the Dead Ideas podcast. Now, you remember Brandon Newberg, right? He and I discussed the Varangian Guard back in episode 173. Well, Brandon has produced a special episode of his show on the history of history podcasting. Yes, it's as meta as it gets, and it's an excellent episode tracing the development of history podcasts from History with Bob through Dan Carlin, Mike Duncan, and down to our own era of so many fine shows. I really enjoyed it, and I'm only in it briefly, so it's not just my massive ego talking. Brandon conducted interviews with a dozen or more podcasters who feature in this episode. Dan Carlin, Royfield Brown, Jordan Harbour, Cam Riley, and so on and so on. And obviously he couldn't include the whole interview he conducted with each of them. So he's put up an interview with each on the Dead Ideas Patreon feed. But you can hear our chat for free next. If that whets your appetite to hear more, then head on over to deadideas.net or wherever you get your podcasts and check out the full History of History podcasting episode. You can also hear the chat with Dan Carlin in full on their feed, and you should also check out their excellent back catalogue. For those of you who liked my various forays into fiction, you might enjoy their recent episodes on Why Rome Never Industrialized. Brandon and his co-host adopted a narrative and game structure to deliver lots of great information about technology in the ancient world. Enjoy.
So now to give some additional comments on the History of History podcasting, Robin Pearson, host of the History of Byzantium podcast, here to tell us what happens in the next chapter of history podcasting. So you've got Lars Brownworth, which is a direct inspiration on Mike Duncan, and then Mike Duncan, a direct inspiration on Robin Pearson. Is that true, Robin?
Oh, absolutely. I was a huge fan of the History of Rome podcast, and I actually wrote to Mike when he said I'm finishing, and said to him, I think you should carry on. No. And I'm sure people would pay to keep you going. And yeah, it just occurred to me a few months later, well, that is something I'd be interested in, but it took me a while to convince myself that I could actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those things, I don't know how other people, like how in depth they go with their history love, because I'd read about the Roman Empire for years, mm-hmm. but I'd never put it all together. You kind of hear stories and think, oh, that's cool. And then when I heard the History of Rome, I was like, oh, that's how it all fits together. And oh, that's why that happened. And yeah, I think I would, sometimes you read a whole book, but so much of it is unfamiliar that you don't fully absorb it. And the podcast kind of walking mm-hmm. you through it, reminding you, making connections for you, that was just so valuable. That really, it really blew me away. And in a way, the format of podcasting is what got me deeper into history than I'd ever been before.
It was the same for me. And part of it for me was that as podcasters, we have the luxury to go into a level of depth and nuance and complexity that you don't have in like a 2-hour History Channel documentary. You have a much more niche audience that you can speak to and not worry about like talking over people's heads. And you have like basically an infinite amount of time, as long as you want to continue podcasting, to go into as much depth as you want with each of your episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that, I mean, I think Lars did it and Mike picked up on that, which was the kind of, last time we were talking about this and mm-hmm. and then you talk about something and you say, and of course in the future, this will lead to this. And it was that constant kind of not patronizing, but slightly holding your hand, that I found really valuable. Because I think sometimes if you read a 500-page book, you've forgotten the first 100 pages by the time you get to the end, because there's just too much to take in. And so, yeah, I think, as you say, that kind of having that time and that relationship to remind you of things, that led to a real depth of understanding and interest that got me thinking it was something I might want to do.
So what was history podcasting like at the time that you got into it? You had Lars Brownworth, you had Mike Duncan. I'm sure by then there were many others. What was it like?
Yeah, so Dan Carlin was the big show. And mm-hmm. That was the kind of thing about starting a history podcast for me is, well, how are you going to live up to that, to Lars and Dan and, mm-hmm. and Mike? And yeah, I wasn't aware of too many. I mean, there were shows like, BBC shows and things that cover history in a kind of light or touching on a big topic, just for a 45 minutes way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as soon as I thought about doing it myself, I then realized there were a whole group of people who were either had just started or then started immediately after I started. So we were clearly all having the same idea at the same time. So mm-hmm. Jamie Jeffers, the British History Podcast, Jamie Redfern of...
Okay.
His 4 or 5 shows, I think. Royfield Brown of all his shows, Jordan Harbour. There were lots of others as well. But I suddenly, when I looked into it, could see that there were like 20 shows all starting on different topics, all inspired by similar things. And it felt like there was a kind of community. And we did fairly quickly get in touch with one another, and everyone was very supportive. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that's one of the great things about podcasting. I think someone could do the History of Byzantium tomorrow. And you might think, oh, well, they'll struggle because you've already covered it. Well, that's true, but they might have a completely different personality and do it in a completely mm-hmm. different way. And lots of people will go, that Robin Pearson, he's very dry and dull compared to this guy. And like genuinely that I think is true. Like for some people, a completely different tone can work. I mean, I know that Cam Riley, is it, the Life of Caesar show mm-hmm. is a much more, like lighthearted, loads of jokes, loads of callbacks about Roman history. And so that will appeal to some people much more than the History of Rome, taking it quite seriously. Mm. Obviously Mike has a sense of humor too, but yeah. And yeah. I think that led to a lot of cooperation between podcasters, because it doesn't feel like, well, hey, we're all competing for a diminishing audience. It's like, no, you find people who are on your wavelength
and they will like you, mm-hmm. and other people might go, hey, you do a great show, but it just isn't for me, and it's not, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how the styles have branched out so much. And speaking of Mike, I think that if one thing that stands out to me as things that he added to the genre that wasn't already present in Lars is every once in a while, his sense of humor would show through. There'd be this wry, like almost you could miss it easily, kind of little
yes.
colloquialism or vulgarism or a little like zinger in there that just go right on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that got picked up by a lot of podcasters as well and became sort of part of the style to have that a little bit like, you got a tie on, but you've unbuttoned the top of your shirt too.
Yeah, that's definitely a weakness of mine. I struggle to think that when I think of a joke that it's going to land, or, so I tend to avoid it. but yeah, I was a big fan of Mike's sense of humor, and yeah, I definitely I thought, well, I'm going to listen to your series on Unix, and it was like, right, we're talking about Unix, how to cut off your junk to get ahead. And I was like, right, this is a great start. So yeah.
So one last question. How do you feel that the history podcasting genre has grown since you started?
Well, it seems to have just exploded exponentially now. Lots mm-hmm. and lots of people following in that vein, but also kind of a growth in, you know, I suppose in the wake of Serial, kind of true crime stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know law is very big. So people kind of expanding into all sorts of different directions involving the past, and some of them very slick and with money behind them, and some, you know, homemade mm-hmm. but equally as entertaining. So yeah, it just seems to have gone on and on. I don't know where it stops. I don't know whether we're becoming like, you know, jokes about cable TV where it was like 500 channels and nothing on or whatever, and now it's going to be like 10,000 history podcasts. Where do you even start?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it just is amazing. Some of the shows that have come out have been fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for once again talking to us, Robin Pearson. It was great to get your perspective.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.